We pray. Father, it is by your love and your grace that each of us has the opportunity to be called your children, to live in the power of that love. And may that love control each of our lives and motivate us to live as people redeemed and to celebrate who we are because you first loved us. As we go to your word, may the power of that word speak to our lives as brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. I'll never forget singing that song the first time with 17,000 young people in San Antonio, Texas in 1983. It's a powerful little song. Back in 1963, at the time of my confirmation, we were assigned confirmation verses. Most of you may remember that. Those of you who are like myself, who grew up in the 60s or 50s. It's how it was then. I was confirmed on Palm Sunday, which many of you were probably confirmed on because that's what we did in the Luther Church Missouri Synod for a long time. And as I reflect over the years from that day, I sometimes wonder what Pastor Schultz either knew or that he was moved by the Holy Spirit to assign me that verse that fits right in the middle of our epistle reading. For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Think about the implication of that verse, because throughout my ministry, that verse has haunted me. That verse has been a part of everything I do. It is the love of Christ that controls us. It rattled through my head during my high school years. It had something to do with my becoming a pastor. I know it surfaced often in my ministry. And now as I work with you here at Trinity, I know that that verse is very important to us as we work together. The love of Christ must control us, must be at the center of all that we do together. It's the center of the epistle reading this morning. As we have that first part talking about who we are and how we relate to one another, and then he talks about that ministry of reconciliation. Yes, think about the implications for our ministry together. You know, when Paul wrote this letter, he wrote it to a church that, yes, was one of his problem churches. Imagine that, a church with a problem or two. Okay, maybe worth more than two. And he wrote this letter because they needed to talk about who they were as brothers and sisters in Christ. And that they together had a ministry. They were a strong church at that time, and yet a church filled with all kinds of problems. And we are reminded that the love of Christ controls us. We need to stand in awe, knowing the fear of the Lord, and that's not fear of trembling. It is that fear of standing in awe in the presence of a God who loves us with an everlasting love, who is there for us, who has always been there for us, and will always be there for us. This verse takes us back to where we all need to go, and that is, what has what has God done for us in our lives? We live in a time in the 21st century where we are oftentimes distracted by outward appearances. Some of you probably go through this normal routine, easy for you to say. Every Sunday morning when you come to church, you have to think about, how am I going to look? What am I going to wear? I might be dragging and looking tired, but I can't show that and give that appearance to all the rest of you. I have to put on my happy face because I'm going to church. Okay, I'll stop now because probably I might be getting a little close to home for some of you, at least for me. Yes, we are often distracted by outward appearances. And when you look at this particular text, it's a very interesting one, because here Paul reminds us that our God is not interested in how we look on the outside. But what He is really interested in is what is in each one of our hearts. We can be so distracted by appearances that we forget about what is in our hearts, or what should be in our hearts. Because you see, we all have a heart condition. It's called our sinful nature. We worry about appearances. We worry about all kinds of things. And yet we have a God whose biggest concern is about, what do you and I believe? He plants salvation into each one of us through the working of the Holy Spirit. During the coming weeks, we need to talk about what God desires of each one of you and me together, as we do ministry to move forward, because we have this loving God. Next week, I'll begin by talking a little bit about marriage as an example of our relationship together. That's all I'm going to say on that, because that's next week's message. And then the following week, I'm going to give you my report of after meeting with all of you. And then on that Sunday, we're going to begin a five-part series of sermons to address some of the things we have to do here as God's people in this place. And it's a good time to start, because now we're in the second half of the church year, just having celebrated Pentecost and Trinity and all of that. And now we have that long season we call the Pentecost season. And now we're going to get to work together as God's people in this place. You see, when we allow things to go to our head, we worry about appearances, we do all of those kind of things, the focus becomes on me. What I want you to consider as God's people in this place is, what are you and what can you be together in this place? Because our real mission is to be the people of God, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, letting the love of Christ control us. And we do that in the reality that each one of us is a sinner. And as a sinner, we all have heart issues. You won't find them on a EKG. But God sees them, and He knows them. It's the power of sin at work in our lives. But we need to be reminded that it is the love of Christ that controls us. One has died for all. Therefore, all have died. Think about that. One has died for all, therefore all have died. In Christ's death and resurrection, you and I died to sin, and were made alive in Christ. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him. That's our mission and ministry together. We don't live just for what's in it for me, because that's the world we live in. But we don't need to be that world. We need to be a world that shares who we are because of what Christ has done for us. He died and was raised again that you and I might have life in his name. And what needs to control our life together but his love? We need to be his love in this community with one another. And you have, in those interviews I've had so far, the beauty is that there's a great deal of love here. There's wonderful people here. And we need to allow the love of Christ to control us in all that we do. We need together to conclude that Christ has died for me. Through his death, through his resurrection, we too have died and we too have life in his name. And we don't live for ourselves, but we live for one another. And we live for Christ, who has accomplished it all for us. And too often in life, we turn that around. It's what's in it for me. Ministry needs to be controlled by Christ's love for each one of us. Who paid the debt of our sin? It wasn't you or I. Who overcame the devil? It wasn't you or I. And who broke the bonds of death? He placed himself on that cross for each one of us. And so throughout the coming months, we must time and time again, as brothers and sisters in Christ, be reminded that Christ died for all. Therefore, we all have died, and therefore we have a ministry together. His death, his resurrection was for our benefit. It was his death that gave us life and salvation in his name. The cross gives us a focus for ministry. Yes, to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, to this community and here in Greeley and around the surrounding areas. And we need together to be controlled by the love of Christ. Because when we lose sight of the cross, our focus gets blurred. It was kind of like driving in this morning in the fog. You can't see very far when it's foggy. But we don't need to be driven by the fog of this world. We need to keep our focus on the cross, on his death, his resurrection. It's easy to say that. It's easy to stand up here and say, this is what we need to do, but the reality, it's much more difficult to do it. And that's why the love of Christ needs to be at the center of everything we do together. That's going to be our challenge in the weeks and months ahead. It's not going to be easy. If it was easy, we could all get it done quickly. It's going to require work. It's going to require all of us together in this place, working together for the common good. And yes, we might even get irritated with one another once in a while. But be reminded, all of this is worth it. When we consider that it is the love of Christ that controls us. It was over almost 60 years ago that confirmation verse was given to me. And I can tell you, almost in 60 years of life, that verse has lifted me up time and time again. And when I lose that focus, I find my strength in Christ dwindles. Because without his love, who am I? Without his grace, who am I? Without the realization of who I am as his son, or are you as his daughter, who are we? Together, we celebrate what Christ has done. And now it is time for us to put that love in action, to be God's people in this place, to move together forward and to focus on ministry that is about witnessing, that the love of Christ controls us. For I am convinced that one has died, therefore we all have died, and in him we have life. Let's do some living together in the coming months. Let's focus on that love that controls each of our lives. And let's do together ministry and be a witness in this community. Amen.